This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I don't think you're soft, man, but I do think you miss Goop.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. We're talking 49er football. They play the Patriots, 105 at Levi Stadium. We're still looking back a little at that Rams loss, 27-24, before we turn the page. And here's another thing I was thinking about, and it's this. Is there a difference between a bad football team and a team that early in the season just hasn't made enough plays? So I'm looking at my Philadelphia Eagles right now. They're 2-1.
Wait. Your?
No, I'm just doing that for effect.
Okay.
So they're 2-1. I mean, they're 3 plays away from being either 3-0 or 0-3. It's just unbelievable. The Packers in week 1 had a chance to win that game late. They didn't. Then the following week, the Eagles look like they got a win in hand, and Barkley drops the ball on a questionable play call. They lose. Then against the Saints, they're fortunate to get a win there. Their coach didn't make a lot of good decisions, and yet they still come out of there with a win. And the difference between 2-1 and 1-2 obviously is incredible. But I'm willing to give the 49ers the benefit of the doubt because of their history and not think this isn't a very good football team, and instead think, you know what, they should be 2-1. They didn't make 2 plays late in a game that you normally make, and so let's not make a mountain out of a molehill. I guess that would be my question to 49er fans. Are we making a mountain out of a molehill right now, just 3 games into the season, when we know this team hasn't had the best training camp, and when we know they're a little banged up right now, obviously on the offense?
Yeah, but you could also look at those as excuses.
Yep.
You know, and so the Niners are 1-2. The team that they lost in the Super Bowl last year, the Chiefs, they have a scoring differential of 13. They've won games by 7 points, by 5 points, and by 1 point.
Right, exactly.
They're 3-0. And they have not played very good football by their standards.
Yep.
Their running back is out for 6 to 8 weeks, and Isaiah Pacheco. I don't see any excuses being made for the defending champs.
Well, but that's kind of what I'm saying is, to me, are the Chiefs just, the Chiefs got a big, big call in that game against Atlanta. A huge pass interference that wasn't called.
Yeah, they're also a shoe size away from potentially losing the Ravens game.
Exactly. And so that's what I always battle with that, especially in football, when a few plays make such a dramatic difference. Like, if the Chiefs were sitting at 1-2 but played the exact same football, we would be saying, boy, they're in trouble. Well, they're the same team that played 98% of the plays the same way. You know, the 2% didn't go their way, and they got beat. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out whether we are overreacting with the San Francisco 49ers. How do you tell when a team 3 games into a year's got some issues that may linger, as opposed to, you know what, we're 1-2. We made a couple costly mistakes to blow that Rams game. But that's a one-game thing. It's not a season-long thing. How do you... I'm asking 49er fans, how do you tell the difference right now at 888-957-9570, Evan? Or do you... Or there's no way to tell it. You just have to wait till you stack up more games.
I mean, whenever a team loses or their season comes to a close, it's very apparent why. I mean, when a team loses a football game, you can see why.
Yeah.
You know, did I expect the Niners to lose to the Vikings? No, but as the game unfolded, it was very clear as to why they were going to lose that football game. But I'm not going to say that the Niners still can't be one of the best teams in the NFC. You know, it's week three. But their ability to storm back and win the division might be a little more impacted. You know, right now, I think their goal is to get healthy.
Yeah.
But as far as, I don't know, systemic issues that they have, I mean, special teams have been an issue across the entire Shanahan era. It's not as if this is all of a sudden something that has popped up in regards to either a muff punt or a missed tackle on special teams or a missed field goal in a big moment or punt block. These aren't things that have not happened before. So is the defense correctable? Perhaps. I think that has to do with some personnel. The offense obviously needs to get healthy. But, you know, it's funny because, like you mentioned, all right, well, a couple plays here, a couple plays there. It also just could be the thing that concerns me about the 49ers is this is supposed to be a soft portion of their schedule. So, like, let's take the Seahawks, for example.
Okay.
Week one, they beat a Denver team that was starting its quarterback, first game ever in the NFL. The rookies generally don't win those games. Week two, they go to New England and barely scrape by the Patriots in overtime, but they win the game. And then last week, they play the Dolphins, who are supposed to be good, but they're missing the starting quarterback and played a guy who was literally the worst quarterback across week three in the NFL. Okay, so they're 3-0, but that 3-0 is a little, like, people are probably overreacting to that 3-0.
Yeah.
Just the way we might be overreacting to the Niners being 1-2. The thing that I struggle with the 49ers is, like, some of these things, I'm not sure they are correctable.
Yeah, my question is, and you brought this up earlier, I find it interesting. Right now, if you're a Niner fan, would you take 10-7 and a wild card? Believe it or not, if I were a Niner fan, I'm not ready to take that yet.
You still think you can get to 11 or 12?
Yeah, I think they could get to 11. I'm not super confident in that, but I'm not convinced that their problems are as big as maybe we're making them out to be at this point of the season. Now, talk to me in a couple weeks if they're 2-3 or 2-4. I just don't think they're... I think they're capable of winning enough games the first 8 to 10 to keep them in it, and then to see where guys are injury-wise. I mean, if they don't get McCaffrey back at all, that hurts. You know, what's Dre Greenlaw going to be when he gets back? I mean, he's a killer when he's healthy. Is he going to be that same player?
Well, and it's not just him being back, but it's not having to play Devontae Campbell. Like, it's that he's the guy who's being replaced.
Right.
You know, I mean, I love George Odom, but, you know, he hasn't been good enough. And so someone like Mustafa's playing. And I don't know if you noticed, but I think it was on Kyron Williams' second rushing touchdown. Mustafa has a clear shot at the running back, completely whiffs. You know, that's a rookie. That's a mistake. And that's a missed tackle. But that missed tackle cost you a touchdown. And there are just a lot of those things right now that, I don't know, the 49ers can't, look, they have room to get better, but they need their stars to step up, and so far they have not done that enough.
Yeah. This from the Xfinity Mobile text line from the 650. Of course I would take 10-7 at this point, considering all the injuries and defensive and special team woes. 10-7 would be a dream at this point. Here's why I wouldn't take it right now, is because even though it looks dire, there's still a path to McCaffrey playing this year, Deebo Samuel having a great year, Dre Greenlaw coming back, Nick Bosa reestablishing himself. I mean, the one thing that it feels like we can count on is they got a damn good quarterback. And I don't know if he can win him. He can't win him games by himself. I don't think any quarterback can. But I'm not. I still wait on 10-7. Now, if they lose to the Patriots, yeah, then I'm going to change my prediction. But, or, you know, my guess there. But I.
Well, I'm assuming they're just that's a gimme game. Like that is a get right game. You better win that game because Arizona's coming in next week.
Okay, but. I hate that in the NFL.
What?
Like. There's just no sure things in the NFL. You know what I mean?
Like, well, I mean, someone could get hurt, but like...
Like 5 games a week, somebody, there's an upset, right? Or a team that's not favored wins
the game. I think all of the biggest upsets won last weekend. Like Denver against Tampa, Washington against Cincy, I think was the biggest line.
Rams-Niners was a 7-point line, I think.
Yep.
Right. And so I just try to figure out how serious things are right now, or whether it's just, he can get a couple breaks. And I know if you say, well, they just didn't get a couple breaks, you know, you're operating a lot on hope. But I also think when you've had 4 of the last 5 years like the Niners have had, you have to respect the track record. That's all. Mike's in Santa Clara. Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
How you doing, guys?
Doing well.
Hey, first off, I want to... Good. First off, I got to say, I love that you're using my drop at the beginning whenever Goo's out. So, got to say that for sure.
Cool.
Yeah, that's me. The one that says you're not soft, but, you know, you do miss Goo. So.
Yeah, okay, I got you. I was trying to figure it out because they change that up sometimes. Yeah, you're a star.
Yeah. I already had my 15 minutes, so... Hey, I just the reason I was calling, guys, I wanted to talk about just the coaching staff. I'm not about to bash Kyle. He's already got enough bashing in as it is. But I just want to say, though, that, you know, I just feel like some of the ego and the arrogance, there's never an issue of having some ego as a head coach, but I just feel like the arrogance and the ego is a little too much right now in regards to not taking accountability with things that have gone wrong and the losses on the head coaching side of things. I just want to see a little bit more accountability from Kyle on why it went down, specifically, you know, on the losses, especially this last Rams one, and not pointing fingers at people. And he's always had a history of doing that. The other thing I wanted to talk about was Sorensen and the defense. You know, I just feel like that the defense itself is being way too passive with their play calling. You know, Steve Wilks, he was a blitz caller like no other. I want to see more blitzing. And quite frankly, I know it's not just on the play caller and on the defensive side, but the players, I want to see some passion and pride behind, you know, your playing as well, unless your name is Fred Warner. He's the only one that is really stepping up and doing anything on that defense. I need to see something, especially out of Bosa. Just put some pride and passion behind your pass rush, man. Like everyone's saying, they're seeing Hutchinson, they're seeing Watt, etc., Myles Garrett. They're seeing these guys get to the quarterback. Where are you, Bosa? That's all I got to say, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, you're right. It's about impact plays, and it doesn't feel like he's made a lot of impact plays. This from the 415. Get off the fence, Steiny. So many ifs in your argument. This team is aging, and gaskets are blowing up.
Well, number one, have you listened to the show before? Second of all, not everything is combusting. The season is not dead yet. It just definitely has not got off to the start that people thought.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, are there fans out there that think this team's in trouble?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care, All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Do you think this... I'll ask you, are the Niners in trouble? And my feeling is, you can't say that after three games. However, if they don't have a good year, I realize people can say to me, dude, this was start to finish. Like, they didn't play well the first three games, but we thought they would correct it. I do think they'd correct it. I'm banking on their track record.
Well, that's all you have to bank on. You know, it's, well, it's a little bit...
But, well, and we might be talking about the same thing, but they've also got players who have been proven in the league. So they do have, you know, it's not like they're starting some young players.
Yeah, and some of those players are no longer on the field. I mean, the one thing that does give me hope for this season is number 13. It's Brock Purdy. Because if there's been one piece of their franchise that has been, I think, just even keel, that has given you what you expected, it's been the quarterback. And I think it's ironic that for so many years, the one thing that's been unstable about this organization is the quarterback. And the thing that has been the most stable about this season thus far is the quarterback.
Yeah.
So Brock Purdy's been fantastic. And that feels, at least for me as a viewer, great to know what I'm going to get at that position each and every week. But at the end of the day, it is about stacking W's and not L's. And through 3 weeks, they haven't done that.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. The one thing I do think is going to be the case this year, and I'm not sure that I've changed my opinion on it, but I think it is going to be tougher. It's going to be more of a grind. They're coming back for their sixth year, where their expectations are to go deep into the playoffs, and never more than now do they have to win a Super Bowl, or is it expected or not expected, but you know, this is one of their last best chances to win a Super Bowl. And that I think they're going to play better as the season goes along, because I absolutely think there's something to knowing how long this season is, and it's just got them, I wouldn't say a malaise, but they're just not maybe as enthusiastic coming out to start a season, because they know how long it's going to take to get to where they want to go in terms of games, months, and you know, games, weeks, and months.
Well, I don't mean to be this guy, but they knew how long last season was going to be. That was coming off a trip to an NFC Championship game in which they felt like they got robbed.
But they had a little bit of a grudge. You know what I mean? Like,
why would they not have a grudge this year? They lost the Super Bowl in overtime.
That's kind of why, believe it or not. Like, I feel like when they lost to the Eagles, they felt like they got cheated by the injury, and not cheated as in hosed, but just they didn't get their fair crack at the Eagles that day. And so then the next year, I feel like they said, all right, we're going to the Super Bowl, and we're going to win the Super Bowl. And they went to the Super Bowl, and they got beat late. And that's why I believe, to my way of thinking, that's maybe why it's been harder to come out guns blazing, because that loss did sting. I think it's still maybe in their minds a little bit, but over the course of the season, I think it'll gradually dissipate. That's just my thought.
No, I think that's fair, but I could also take Debo's words. If he believes that this team has been the most talented group in the NFL for however long, you know, whether they are or aren't, doesn't really matter. I do think he has reason to believe that the Niners played a better football game than the Chiefs. But again, like the Rams game, they didn't make enough plays in the biggest moments to warrant besting Patrick Mahomes. But I think that they firmly believe they were the better team last year. Just like they believe they were the better team than the Philadelphia Eagles the year before. Now, while they got beat as opposed to not having a chance to prove it, to me that's kind of apples to apples. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't have as much motivation coming into this season as last season. What I think they've run into is this war of attrition that they're beginning to lose from going to so many games and through so many seasons. Like, one thing the Chiefs have done, and I realize that they're 3-0, and it's been because of a couple plays and all the rest, but they got Travis Kelce on a pitch count. Travis Kelce's 35 years old. He's a Hall of Fame tight end, one of the greatest of all time. They know when they need him, but they also realize they can still win games if he's not on the field all the time. He's playing less than half the snaps, but the snaps that he's playing are in big spots. And they also have trust in other players to go out and make those plays. I mean, they brought in Hollywood Brown, who may not be as good as he once was, but he's expected to be a big part of this receiving core. He's not there. Their starting running back is now out. But they're still finding ways to cobble together victories against, frankly, better opponents than the Niners have played.
Yeah.
So, I hear what you're saying. It is very hard. I do believe in a quote-unquote Super Bowl hangover. But that Super Bowl hangover is not an excuse to be losing to inferior teams like the Rams.
888-957-9570 is the number. I'm still of the opinion that things are going to get better for the Niners. And we may, if I had to make a bet, we'll look back at these three games and say, yeah, that wasn't who we were. And now we're in week 12 or 13 and we're proving it. That's what I would. If I had to bet, that's what I would bet on. What about you guys? What about you 49er fans? Let's go out to Waterman in Corte Madera. Hey, Waterman, what's going on?
What up, gentlemen? Hey. How are we doing today?
Doing well.
So, I mean, I know you guys, I know I call a lot, and I know probably tend to lean towards the negative. I still think they're going to be 10-7 this year.
Okay.
I kind of predicted that early in the year. So, yeah, they're going to probably give away a game or two in the Rams fashion. It's just, I think, just the way this season's going to go. I think Matt Tateo said it best. He didn't see the energy in this team. They seemed depleted early in the year when he was interviewed. The Niners right now are experiencing Super Bowl hangover. They've gone through yet another Super Bowl against the Chiefs, making it through that grind and losing in a dramatic fashion again, having a lead and having it watch it go away. And I'm telling you, that has a mental grind on you, because it's I guarantee you most of those players are saying, like, what do we have to do to get over this hump? And yes, okay, I get it. They're million-dollar paid athletes, and we all think they should be robotic and just go out and make plays. But right now, they're playing with no swagger. They're playing with no high energy emotion. They don't have their big emotional leader in Dre Greenlaw, on the defensive side. It's not the same team as last year too. You know, regardless of how we felt about Eric Armstead, how we felt about Kinlaw, it's not the same team. So this is a new thing. It's a new defensive coordinator, which, let's face it, the book's still out on him. But right now, just to use the Chiefs as an example, they are playing as a team that is the Super Bowl defending champion with all the swagger. There's two games this year I've watched where they had no business winning those games, and they found a way to pull it out because they're playing with confidence, they're playing with swagger. Okay, we can use the excuse of, yeah, they've gotten some bailed out on some major non-calls. But the Atlanta game, for example, with the Chiefs, we forget Atlanta did get the ball back, and the Chiefs got three or four penalties on that last drive Atlanta got. But when Atlanta needed to get 1 yard, they couldn't come up with 1 yard, and the Chiefs' defense stifled them. So, I mean, they have an amazing core group of coaches. Their staff has been solid at all the right places. They're probably not more talented than the Niners on paper, but the guys are doing and working together and playing with swagger. And right now, unfortunately, the Niners aren't. And it's a drag as a fan. And I do think they're gonna turn it around and win some games. I'm hoping for 4-4 by the bye week. I mean, I'm not anticipating the Niners beating the Chiefs this year at all when they play them. But right now, the Niners, they need a little perk up, and I thought they had it with the Rams with the way Purdy played and Jennings. But unfortunately, it got slipped away. And it's not from those guys' fault. It's from making stupid plays, at the wrong time. I mean, allowing a terrible punt return. Like, what are we doing here? It was just like talk about a momentum shift. We got to see it on Sunday with the Rams, well, guys.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. I mean, very rare do you have a game in which you can point to the exact moment it all switched. But that game on Sunday changed in a monster way midway through the second quarter when Sean McVay went for that fourth down and got it on the punt.
But again, so that, let's say that opened the door.
Yeah.
There were still 17 chances for the Niners kick the door back shut.
And you know what? You're right. That touchdown made it 14-7. They went back up 21-7 after that. So,
and they also had a chance right before the half. You know, it's funny because Guru will bring up a McCaffrey fumbled in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Or people will point to Jalen Hurts, who fumbled for a pick six in the Super Bowl. So if I think Brock Purdy played maybe his best regular season game in his career.
Okay.
Fumbled the ball before the half. So are people mad about that? I mean, to me, those aren't things to just look at and say, well, that's why they lost. But again, when you go back and stack up the different reasons why, that is a part of it. I mean, the Rams needed a lot of things to go their way after digging themselves a 14-0 hole, a 21-7 hole in the second half. And then the Niners basically gave them the shovel or a ladder.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's a good point. All right, 888-957-9570. I see callers lining up. We'll get to you all on the other side. San Francisco 49ers, now 1-2. I guess the way I feel is I think things are going to even out a little bit. You know what I mean? I think there are games that the Chiefs maybe didn't deserve to win a game, and they got a win. It'll even out in the end, and I kind of feel like that loss, I feel like the loss of the Rams is a little bit of an outlier.
No, I mean, and that's why I think that this game is going to be a get-right game for the Niners.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to calm all the concerns of fans, but, I mean, the reason why you should feel optimistic about this group is it is the names on the back of their jerseys. Like, you've seen them do this before, and if Kittle's back this weekend, Debo comes back next week, you know, you can get this thing right. There is still a lot of time left, but right. I think you've stolen this line before a couple times. It can get early late.
Oh, I like that line. Don't miss the kickoff show this Sunday with my main man, Evan Giddings, and Jason Dumas, live 2 hours before the start of the game. Join us at the Hilton Santa Clara for delicious food, great drinks, and the best pregame show in the Bay. It's presented by Habas Law. You've been wronged. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabasLaw.com.